This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Question right in the center, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm Les Grobstein from The Score in Chicago and Associated Press Broadcasting.
More like fraudcasting. Yeah! Got it in. Welcome back in on The Score. I am Mark Grody. Les Grobstein, for years, was the overnight host here on The Score. He was legendary prior to his Score days, which started in the early 2000s. And then he was gone for a while, was around in the later 2000s. But he's a classic. He's a radio classic in Chicago. We all love Les Grobstein. And, of course, somebody is writing a book about Les Grobstein and the love and the lessness that he gave to the Chicago sports world. And we need to talk about it. Joining us now to talk about the upcoming, I don't believe it is titled yet, to talk about this upcoming Les Grobstein book, the co-authors of the book. They are Holly Grobstein Levine, that is Les's sister, and a colleague of Les and mine, Steve Leventhal, who also runs Internet FM Incorporated. They both are joining me now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Holly and Steve, how are you guys?
Great.
Thanks for having us.
So I will ask, first of all, is there a working title for this, for the Les Grobstein book here, just for reference sake?
Go ahead, because Holly's the one who came up with the title.
So sort of a working title at this point in time, but we're going with because we're asking people to write stories and contribute. So it's I Was There with Les Grobstein.
that is beautiful. Holly, I actually have not had much of a chance, an opportunity to have any sort of extended conversations with you about Les Grobstein. I know I have met you prior, but what was it like? What is like being Les's sister? Did all that Les craziness come together at what age?
So I am 6 years and 13 days younger than Les. So I think by the time I was born, the craziness was there already. I have heard from my parents that by the time he was five or six, he wanted to be a sportscaster. So I would say my whole life.
Did you have to settle him down sometimes? Or you're like, okay, Les, enough. That's enough.
No, it was more like just walk out of the room and let it be, and it might pass. we have a lot of mutual friends and acquaintances by sheer coincidence. I've been in advertising and marketing my whole life, so and at one point in time was a media buyer, so I was buying radio in town when he was on the air. And, you know, just friends from sheer coincidence. And I knew people for years before they knew I was Les's sister.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into
this. Then the stories.
Oh, yeah.
The stories.
Didn't you also, she also played on the softball teams occasionally, right?
Oh, yeah. WLS. I mean, you, Mark, you said in the 90s. It was, or 2000s. It was actually the 80s and 90s.
I was just talking about his score, career.
Score time, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. So at WLS, you know, as most people know, he was heavily involved in all of the softball teams. There was a WLS men's team. There was a WLS women's team that he coached. And then there was Chicago Radio All-Stars, C-R-A-S. Yes, that's what was on the shirts. And when the women played, they would often be short people because, and he'd be afraid of having to forfeit. So, and the agency I worked at was literally across the street from WLS. So I'd get a phone call. Do you have your stuff? Can you come play? And so I would come out and I would play, and I, you know, I really knew almost everybody, you know, that was on the team at the station. And then the next week he would be like, no, I have enough. Don't come. I don't need you. And then I'd come 2 weeks later because he called and they'd be like, where were you? We could have used you last week.
That's hilarious.
Like, talk to your coach.
Check the box. I love it. I want to ask both of you guys, and Holly, I'll start with you, and then Steve, love to hear from you on this too. Why are we writing the book? What's the inspiration for doing this?
Well, you should really let me take that one because the idea is really mine. And
okay,
I just was lucky
Steve.
Enough to get Holly on board.
Okay, it's all your idea. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Well, I got was given a copy of this book. I remember Jim Valvano, and I was flipping through it and reading it. And this particular book is made up of lots of little vignettes, lots of anecdotes from the coaches he worked with, the players he coached, people from some of the different ball clubs that he was on. And I'm like, God, this would be a great way to do a story of Les. And, you know, I knew him very, very closely for at least 20 years. And I approached Holly when I thought the timing was right. And I said, look, I've got this idea. I'd love to put this book together, but I want it to be a collection of stories from people and not just the people that he worked with, but and the people he grew up with, but also the fans. And Scott, Holly was on board. And fortunately, Les's son Scott was also on board. So we got it rolling.
That's awesome. Shout out to Scott of the Grobsteins as well. And Steve, I think it's so funny. I think everybody knew Les Grobstein for about 20 years. That's such a great way to start a Les conversation. I've known Les for, I knew him for about 20, 25 years. That's like the base for Les Grobstein. I want to know who both of you guys have heard from in the name of putting this book together, because I can't imagine that you get too many rejections from people to say, to write a paragraph or two about Les Grobstein, good or bad. Steve, I'll start with you this time, and then we'll go to Holly.
Well, the first challenge was to get somebody to write the foreword. So I asked a number of people, and the one who came through was Tommy Edwards, who was on WLS back in those days. So, and he wrote a beautiful little foreword that's going to be in the book. I've heard from lots of, you know, just even fans already, but I've heard from Chuck Shriver, who was the Cubs PR director for a couple of years. I heard from several of the WLS producers. I heard from John Gorzel, who was on WKTA when they brought over the UIC basketball and hockey. Of course, our good friends, Allison Moran, Leslie Harris, and there's a bunch of people who've also said they're going to be on board. I just haven't gotten their stuff yet, like Sharon Pinazzo, who was the Cubs longtime PR director.
Okay, just don't have Peter Chase contribute to the the
sure.
One of the ex-Cubs PR guys who Graver often clashed with. Oh, you know that. You know about that. How, you know about the Les Grobstein hate list. When Les stops liking someone, Holly, it's over, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, don't ever, with when Les was alive, bring up Pluto. Oh my God.
Okay, when did the Pluto? Because for people who don't know, Les was very is very protective of the galaxy. Let's put it that way. He wants things to stay in order. Things are not allowed to change. So when these astrophysicists, by the way, with lots of degrees, said that Pluto is no longer a planet, Les Grobstein took major issue with that. He said, Pluto is, I don't care what those NASA idiots. As a matter of fact, we have it right here. Robbie?
From here to Timbuktu and a lot further than that, all the way out to the planet, and yes, I said it again, and I'll repeat it, planet Pluto.
Holly, when did this protection of the universe and the galaxy begin with Les Grobstein?
So I will tell you that even as a child, he was very into the space program, NASA, the orbit launches, the moon launches. So I think it's just a lifelong passion of his. We went on a family vacation to Mexico where we had a lot of cousins at the time, and it was during one of the moon launches, and he wanted to stay home alone. He was not going, and he actually got a portable TV that he somehow managed back in those days. I think it ran on batteries or something. He brought it with in the car so he could watch the moon launch in, because we drove down. So it's been a lifelong passion, but specific to Pluto, it was really funny. I had no idea how personally he had taken the deplanetization of Pluto. It had just happened, and we spent a family day at the Edler Planetarium, and they had just the funnest T-shirts. It was basically a space shot of Pluto. And it had the date it was, you know, identified as a planet, which I can't tell you what it is. I don't quite share that passion. And the date they declassified it, and it said revolve in peace. And I was on the phone with him, and I just thought it was the funniest shirt, and I mentioned it to him. And that was when I found out you don't mention Pluto not being a planet to Les, because I got a 20-minute, I kid you not, diatribe about how it is a planet. It will always be a planet. I'm like, Les, it was just a funny T-shirt, really.
Yeah, I would say that the parallel passion project beyond Pluto would be also what is happening right now. It's beginning to happen in Major League Baseball. And quite frankly, I'm just going to say it, I'm glad Les is not around to see it. Robot umpires are about to make their way into baseball. Les and I, Holly, had many arguments when he and I would do a transition at 4:30 in the morning about robot umps. He hates them.
Mm-hmm.
What would he be saying right now? Like, if with the robot umpire, that might have brought him to his death. I don't know.
Well, with March Madness coming around, listen, I also remember Les, he always used to go, his ideal Final Four was all the 16 seeds would make it to the Final Four, wherever it was being held. That was also a Les.
I don't care about Duke and North Carolina. All these teams can kiss my ass, right?
Well, and then also
he took it very Pluto.
Personally, he took it very personally that my Tar Heels beat the Illini, and I couldn't tell you how many times Illinois should have won that game. I can't believe it. So much so that I had to go back and look up the box score and the running score. I'm like, Les, they were behind the whole second half. It wasn't even close.
Hilarious. Hey, Holly, can you do a Les impersonation?
No.
I don't
think I've ever attempted a Les impersonation in my entire life.
Okay.
I think it's probably not too many things I would it's on the least like to do list. I mean, I'm told we sound alike. I know we look alike, but I have one of his bobbleheads on my desk at work, and rather than imitating Les every so often, I'll just push the button because it's fun.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I have one right in front of me.
There we go.
Right now.
That's where the Pluto thing came from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a Les Grobstein. I don't see the little click. Oh, here it is. Let's see if it's still.
Does it say what?
That's probably too butter? Soft. That's probably not great radio, but that's the Les Grobstein bobblehead, which, by the way.
Dump him.
Which, by the way, guys, I always take the Les Grobstein bobblehead. Last 2 years, I've taken the Les Grobstein bobblehead on my trips to Green Bay. I put him in the passenger seat of the company rig, and we make the drive to Green Bay, and then I pop it out of the bag and put it right in front of me in my spot, and Chris M and I just look at the bobblehead and take good care of him and pet him because we know he needs the sport being Green Bay, because that was his other hate project.
Yeah.
It hated people who didn't accept Pluto and hated Green Bay and everything about the Packers.
Mustard and relish.
You've posted photos of the bobblehead being up in Lambeau, which we have shared on. We have a Facebook page called Les Grobstein where we spend the night together that we had started after he passed away. So his fans still had a place to go because we had no control over his Facebook page. Nobody had the logons. We don't think he designated a legacy anything, so we had to pull it down because some not nice things were ending up that we couldn't do anything about. So we created this great community where people still engage, and that's where we're going to get some of the stories. We've asked for stories and they're still coming, but yeah, I always make sure to share Les at Lambeau with you on that group.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that everybody can enjoy seeing Les at Lambeau.
A favorite Les story, we want you to give it to us. We've set up a whole webpage just to input that stuff. And if you want, I'll tell you my favorite Les story,
Which
is definitely going to be in the book. So Les, for a brief period of time, we did a radio show together at WKRS in Waukegan between, I think, his Score gigs. And so it was right around this time of year where we went up to, must have been Milwaukee hosting the NC2A. So we were going to leave right after the show. So, of course, Les says, oh, I'll drive. Okay, fine. He takes his car. He goes and finds, he doesn't go to Chevron. He doesn't go to Exxon. He goes to Fortin. He's going to find the cheapest gas station around.
I got to get me one of those neon, they have neon baseball caps over there. I'm going to grab one of those. I already got the pink. I want the yellow.
So, he's got that, he's had that big fat wallet filled with all kinds of stuff. So he's sitting there looking, digging around. He's going to find his Thornton card so he can, of course, get the points and get the cheap gas. We go, we pull into the gas station and he runs in to go fill up. And he comes back and he leaves the car running and he's putting the gas in the gas tank. And now, I'm a big fan of Alfred Hitchcock, and if you've ever seen the movie The Birds, there's a scene there at a gas station where the car is being filled up and somehow some accident happens and then this thing blows up and I'm thinking, oh my God, my life is going to end in Waukegan of all places. And I couldn't get out of that car fast enough. And I did not get back in until after he filled up the car, pulled off and pulled the pump out. And I said, Les, from now on, I'm driving. And I drove everywhere else we went.
That's fantastic. I think one of my favorite, you guys both have tons of them too, so it's hard to select what the people might most want to hear, but one of my favorites was, this was, I would say 2008, something like that. I was definitely not covering the Bears. I was not even working here at the Score. And I was working at WBBM. I was covering a Bears game, and Les was there as well. My family, my brother, has season tickets, so they are out there tailgating before every single Bears game. And so I told my brother and our friends that I would pop out there, and I told them, I said, I'm going to bring Les Grobstein out there because I talked to Les about it. I thought, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll go out there. I'll meet your brother and all your friends. That'll be so Les and I walk out to this. They're all excited. They know, like, my brothers know Les. Like, we all grew up listening to Les. Like, we loved Les before I started working with Les. I got my family out there, my sister-in-law, all the friends. They're all excited to meet Les. I present Les to them. There's my brother and my sister-in-law, Priscilla. They've got this big Tennessee flag. They got a big Bears flag up, and they also had a big Tennessee flag up because my sister-in-law, Priscilla, you know where I'm going. My sister-in-law, Priscilla, went to Tennessee. So I go, hey, everybody, this is the great Les Grobstein that you guys, he's famous. Meet my brother, Brian, and my sister-in-law, Priscilla, and he looks right at both of them and just says, what's with the Tennessee flag? because he hated Tennessee,
yeah,
because he hated Bruce Pearl, who was the head coach at the time. So he basically ranted on my brother and my sister-in-law. Didn't say hi. What's with the Tennessee flag?
And there's going to be a great story in the book. I was not there for this, but I know for a fact, and Phil Myers, who you know, and our friend, the great Lynn Ackerman, I sent them down to St. Louis to cover one of the Cardinals playoff games. And Phil wrote this beautiful story up, and he did it in a really clever way. But there's a very incident that happened with an apple pie and Les McDonald's. And I just kind of want you to imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what happened there.
Okay. You're not getting off the air without telling us the rest of this story, Leventhal.
Well, okay.
Did he put the apple pie in his pocket? What happened?
The apple pie, he walked into the McDonald's, and I can't tell it as well as Phil did. They went, they stopped halfway to St. Louis, get something to eat, and both Les and Lynn ordered something, and Grobstein just didn't want to, for whatever reason, you know, being the frugal person that he was, didn't want. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out an apple pie, not in a container, just the apple pie, and asked them to reheat it for him. And of course, that caused a little bit of consternation behind the counter.
Hey, can you do me a favor and just reheat this?
And he wasn't going to take no for an answer.
I could see him too, because there was covert tone. Yeah. Hey, can you do me a favor and just go ahead and heat this, pop it in there for about 32 seconds? It'll be fine, right, Holly?
What is one of those? Cost?
Yeah,
like
no,
a dollar.
So I'll tell you guys a family legend story. So those who know Les long enough will recall he had this actually quite sweet Yorkshire Terrier named Moose. Now, I always said, who on earth names a Yorkshire Terrier Moose? But Moose was one of his favorite animals, and this was his dog. So he comes over. It was Passover. We were having the Seder here. There was something like, I mean, in those days, you know, we were fortunate to have a lot more of the relatives alive. And there was something like, you know, between 15 and 20 people for a Seder. And he brought Moose and he put Moose down in the yard. And I have Shiba Inus, and they're not much bigger than Yorkies, but they are. And my little male Shiba looked at Moose, walked up, took one paw, and just gave him a gentle little whack, and Moose went rolling in circles, his leash wrapped around him like a mummy, and Moose's little eyes bugged out of his head.
That's
so
hilarious.
That had Les dubbing my dog as mean, which all he did was give him one little gentle tap.
Get him away. I don't and care. Get him out of here now.
And then he's walking around holding the dog the whole time.
Aw.
Now, we're sitting down at the dining table to start the Seder, and it's like, okay, Les, we're going to get started. You need to put the dog down. I'm not putting him down. No, Les, you need to put the dog down. No, I'm not putting him down. Your dog's mean. My, like, 21-pound little tiny Shiba. And we're going up and back, and finally, my father-in-law, who, may he rest in peace, Les respected a great deal, and, I mean, we were like one very large family. There were never two families. Looked at him and said, Les, put the goddamn dog down. We're starting the Seder. And Les was like, okay, put the dog down. That's but it took 10 minutes to get him to put the dog down until my father-in-law was like,
I don't want that little dog.
We're not doing
snipping and snapping at me. He's stripping his teeth. Hey, what, Holly, what about the bird? He had that bird. Did he have a cockatoo?
No, he had a parakeet.
Oh, he has a
parakeet. It was a parakeet. It was named Birdie, I believe. I didn't know the bird really well. You know, I didn't go over to his place, the last place he lived in Elk Grove for rather a long time, because I was afraid to go in there. So
I never once set foot in there either. That's really funny. All the times we went somewhere, I would pick him up. He would just come outside in the parking lot, and off we'd go.
I thought it was enough just entering his vehicle. Like, that was enough for me, you know?
Yeah, well, okay. When he passed away, we had to clean out his place and his vehicle. So there's lots of stories there.
Oh,
you know, and it was COVID. So, you know, fortunately we had tons of masks and Lysol and stuff. You know,
I would have used it regardless if I had to go
in. Were those big suits they wear in Breaking Bad? Like, you want to put those
in?
Hazmat suits. Yeah. And the awful thing is he passed away in the apartment.
Yeah.
So he died there, and like, here we are a day later going, and it was near the end of the month, and we, you know, we didn't want to have to pay an extra month's rent. They were being kind and, you know, totally letting us break the lease. That's so cool. We had like a week to clean the place out, separate the garbage from everything else. And like my son drove in from Boulder. He lived in Boulder at the time. You know, my daughter, and my daughter's immunocompromised, and here she is with the masks and the gloves and whatever.
Man.
And
wow.
Scotty, God bless him, was just, you know, heroic. And his older son, well, both his kids were there helping. It was just, you know, totally insane. There's a million stories out of it.
Oh, God.
But the best one to go.
And most of them
circle,
are going to be in the book.
Good.
To go full circle on the dog is I was going over stuff on the coffee table in the living room. And I'm like, oh, this is a nice box. What's this? And I opened it and slammed it shut. And Scotty goes, what is it? I said, moose.
Oh.
And he goes, moose's collar and stuff? I'm like, no, moose. It was the dog's ashes.
Oh, okay.
In a beautiful, yeah, no, it was ashes. He had him cremated. And it was a very beautiful, you know.
Oh, he wasn't pulling a Gene Hackman then, right?
Yeah, no. But it was a beautiful storage box made for ashes. And it actually, when I look more closely, like, had his name and all the info on it. But it was just like, oh, this is enough. Oh, my God. And what is it? Moose. What do you mean, moose? It's moose. Oh, you mean like his collar and stuff? No, it's moose. And then we went through the, do you want it? No, I don't want it. Well, do you want
get this out of here.
I mean, I've had a zillion pets over my lifetime. We joke that the movie We Bought a Zoo is our house. I mean, right now, there's, you know, dogs, cats, birds.
He has a lizard.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, well, only one. There used to be two. We lost the iguana. We had a full-size 5-foot iguana.
Of course you did.
But, but we have never,
all grab seed all the time.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever have we chosen to get ashes back or have them in our home. It's just not, and I understand lots of people do, and it's comforting for them, and right. And that's their thing, but I didn't have my own. I didn't want his.
I totally get it. That's hilarious, Holly. It really
and there's many more stories that we will definitely put in the book.
Good.
Do you have
good.
A picture of Les with moose? Is that what you're holding up? Lower, Steve. Lower.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we give out the address.
Oh, yeah.
We are taking contributions. Yeah. And so, Mark, if you want to put it on your social media, or, you know, you can just go Google. I think it's the second one that comes up, the Les Grobstein book. The first one's our little press release, but there on that page, you can submit your story. You can get more information. We're doing a GoFundMe because it's a hybrid published from a very reputable Chicago publisher. Hopefully the book will be out sometime this summer.
Good. And Les's birthday Tuesday, is that right? Would have been?
Yes, the 11th.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I have green nails in honor.
Nice. Wait, green nails in honor?
Green was Les's favorite color.
Oh, wow. That is my favorite color.
Years.
Wow.
For years, I hated the color green. Because if you've grown up eating green French toast and pancakes and waffles because you put food coloring in the batter, you would hate green too.
I need some food. Put the dye in there. Put the dye in the waffle. I don't care. I want it green. That's hilarious. All right. You guys don't have to give any more away about the book because I want people to read the book.
There's lots more, guys.
Yeah, I know.
We're just scratching the surface.
You guys are just getting rocking. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. It's always great to talk about Les Grobstein. I love the man. Holly, thank you so much. Steve Leventhal.
Anytime, and thank you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And Leventhal, stop asking Bears players about North Carolina players, okay?
Hey, the coach, he's a Tar Heel. I didn't even, he's a, I didn't,
dump,
I wanted to look him up. He was a third string QB. back in the day.
I always know that if you're face to face with somebody, some random in the Bears locker room, must have gone to North Carolina. Like going back to the Mitch Trubisky days. But they appreciate that.
Actually, I like talking to Carol Santos about soccer. We're both Chelsea fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he likes to talk. So that is a good match for you, my friend. Steve, Holly, thank you guys. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Cool.
Thanks so much.
You got it.
Go less.
Go less. It's Holly Grobstein. It's Steve Leventhal. They got a book coming out about Les Grobstein, and it sounds like it's going to be even more hilarious than I thought it would be. I guess I have to come up with some sort of contribution to the Les Grobstein book as well. I'm a little sad I was not approached to do the foreword, but I understand.
I thought you were number one.
Well, Les does have a history with some heavies in the past. So Steve, the announcer, I forget his name, that's doing the foreword, Steve. Was it Ebner? Where's Ebner? Was it Tristan Ebner? I have to take a break. We'll be back here. We have time for calls. I see like a lot of people have been trying to check in. If you want to jump in here in the final minutes of the show, I'm always for taking a concluding phone call to the program. 312-644-6767 to Paul Basketball coming up at 12:45 on The Score.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
robot things, they'll malfunction just as much as human beings do.
Yeah, this would not be a good time for Les to be alive. That sounds kind of dark, kind of cold, but it's not something that Les would have been sustainable, ultimately, with a couple of robot umpire games in this spring.
You're wrong. And anybody that wants a robot umpire is wrong.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Next year could be full robot umpire. I kind of wish, God, I do wish Les would have been around to see this and share on-air conversations with him about the first time a robot umpire malfunctioned. Oh, it would have been Les Grobstein off to the races. A lot of great reaction coming in from the Grobber. Holly Grobstein and Steve Leventhal interview about the Grobber book. All right, I promised I would do it, and I can't not do it, even though it was not a great move by me to solicit calls because the show's almost over. I don't know why I thought I had more time for some reason. So let's do it. We go to Ken. Mark. Ken, congratulations. You're the call.
Thanks. How old was Les when he first started jamming stuff into his wallet? How many years ago?
Like
that sucker was... That thing was so thick, he had the George Costanza's a wallet before it was popular.
Oh, yeah, man. It probably took low-key almost as long to go through the wallet as apparently it did to go through Les's car and Les's apartment after he died.
I have the ticket stub from the 1972 Cub game when Milt Pappas threw the no-hitter that the umpire missed the call.
Yeah, it was Dutch Rennert or wait, I should know this. The umpire was famous as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, good job. Rest in peace, Les, and remember, Green Bay still sucks.
Green Bay sucks. That's right. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for representing today. Ken got to be the call, even when the calls were getting, when we were running out of time to actually get to the phone calls here on the show of Les Grobstein and the inspiration that he gave to just about everybody. Yeah, just Grobber text after Grobber text coming in right now. So I'm really glad that we did that today. I'm glad. Thanks to Holly Grobstein and Steve Leventhal for being on the show. Thanks to Mark Potash for being part of the program today, talking Bears. Go back on the Odyssey app and check that out if you want. At 11:20, we were talking Bears, and noon was the Grobber talk. Coming up next, we have DePaul basketball. Zach Zaman and Dave Corzine bringing it for you. The DePaul Blue Demons coming off a victory over the Brandon Friars. What a great thing that was. Always nice to see the DePaul Blue Demons win.
Is it the Brandon Friars?
The Brandon Friars. Thanks to that guy, Robbie Triano.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Morning, boys. And the guy behind him is Sean Sears, who apparently will be running DePaul basketball today. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to everybody for texting. Who knows when I'll be on next? I don't look at the schedule until the day that I'm on, so I can't tell you. I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your afternoon. I'm serious about that. Bye. Bears.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married?
Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.